Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Alan Howard, Daniel Nussbaum, and Brenda Schaefer of the Naval Postgraduate School. A new book, Operational Energy, is defining the way the military must think about its future. And one way to do that is to think about its past or case studies where energy is at the center of a struggle. Brenda, I go to you because I learned from you about the Armenia-Azerbaijan conflict and the trigger for the last episodes that left Azerbaijan content that it has regained its territory and Armenia wounded. But it was a missile strike at a particular part of Azerbaijan that early on in the conflict that you identified to me is extremely provocative. Just one missile near one part of Azerbaijan. What was that and why is it important to pay attention to all elements of energy when in war, Brenda?
Right. Thank you, John. So the Armenia-Azerbaijan war during fall 2020, in which Azerbaijan was able to reassert its sovereignty over its territories that had been occupied for 30 years, had a lot of energy elements. So one of them was the war broke out on the eve of the initiation of operations of the Southern Gas Corridor. This is a massive pipeline project that brings Azerbaijani gas into Europe. It was the first new volumes of gas into Europe. Like, you had had rerouting of Russian gas, you know, with Nord Stream 2 and with other pipelines, but this was the first diversification. So obviously Russia and its ally Armenia wanted to preempt this. So a big part of the timing of this war, the initiation of the war, especially the attacks that took place on the eve of the real face-to-face battle between the two countries, was really on the hills above the Southern Gas Corridor, and, you know, made to potentially disrupt these supplies or, you know, not begin the initiation. So it's something for us to think about when we think about, you know, energy security, you know, that our adversaries are going to constantly try to undermine what, you know, infrastructure we put in place for diversification, for lowering our dependence on those supplies. There was also during the war, which is documented in the case study, weaponization of energy infrastructure. And we see this, you know, throughout history, where governments use flooding, for instance, in order to, you know, to prevent forces from moving forward, or to really, you know, to drown forces, or, you know, in this case, Armenia fired at the Migishever hydropower plant, which if it would have hit it and unleashed the water, would have, you know, hurt about a third of the farmland of Azerbaijan, and maybe would have, you know, led to the end of the war because forces couldn't get to the battle lines. We saw this, you know, not that far after it, with Ukraine, with Russia releasing waters in Ukraine as well. So we need to think about, we've had some instances also in the dams in the United States. We need to think about hardening the security on hydropower plants, but other energy infrastructure that can be weaponized during war.
Dan, to up-to-date moment right now, the Ukraine conflict, you identify the vulnerability of the electric grid of Ukraine, attacked repeatedly by Russia, but in particular Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe, at risk. Has this lesson been taken to heart at the Pentagon? Operational energy also includes the defense of something as vulnerable as that. Is this a new story that's being addressed aggressively, Dan?
So we have, thanks for the question, I mean, John, we have good relationships with some people at strategic think tanks in Ukraine. We met with some of them within the last month, who they've taken the message. They know that Zaporizhia has not been taken, has been taken offline, but the actual nuclear reactor has not been bombed. But the linkages to the rest of the Ukrainian grid have been compromised. Ukraine's gone from 18 gigawatts of capability now down to about 11. And so they have taken this very seriously. People within the energy community and the NATO community have taken this seriously. But, you know, when you list the top five things that the U.S. Department of Defense is thinking about, that's not in the top five. It's just important.
We come then to the question of the use of energy by all the services. And I want to very quickly summarize my reading of your textbook. I knew that there were disparities between the services, and we're going to speak to the U.S. military in a moment. But, Alan, did you find that the Russians and the Ukrainians in their combat are thinking about energy? I know the Russians are attacking the grid, but do they take into account the energy that they're devoting to their combat operations and their resupply so far from Russia and the vulnerability of their lines? Are they thinking about this in combat right now, Alan?
Well, I think absolutely they are. Again, the Russia-Ukraine case for us is, I think, one of the very important, prescient examples of why operational energy is so important. But if you remember, in the very early days of the war back in February 2022, you had Russian convoys coming across the border and they were running out of fuel. I mean, they were stuck in the mud, or their tactical vehicles, troop carriers were running out of fuel. I don't think they had considered it quite as much as they should have, at least from the Russian perspective, in those very early days. Now that's all shifted because those weaknesses were very clearly identified. From the Ukrainian perspective, they absolutely understand this. As Dan mentioned, I mean, we've worked very closely with the Ukrainian government for years, actually going back to 2017. We were over there working with their energy folks in the Ministry of Energy. We worked with their energy providers inside the company.
30 seconds, Alan, 30 seconds.
And so they're looking at this very carefully. This is extremely important for them. They're getting their energy infrastructure is getting attacked. And as we noted, the Ukrainians are now going after Russian energy supply depots to try to get them to back off. So this is important, and it's happening now.
The book is Operational Energy, Alan Howard, Daniel Nussbaum, Brenda Schaefer. We're up to date, so we're going to go into the future of the 21st century and the energy wars.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
A snarl, and they're upon him. An ancient forest spirit at his heels. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. John Cho stars in Camping. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.